Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The 2020 New Orleans Saints season is almost here. For this season, join the best Saints fan community in the world, Saints Happy Hour, connecting you with the most passionate Saints fans around for only $10 a month. Come have fun and laugh with us. Get the Saints Happy Hour booze bundle as a welcome gift, featuring four limited edition collector swag items not available in any stores. You'll also get members-only access to the best Saints podcast every day, completely ad-free, and exclusive access to the Saints Happy Hour private Discord chat room, where you can talk Saints football with our community members 24/7 and get access to special giveaways and prizes. Make 2020 Saints football more fun by joining Saints Happy Hour. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome into a special edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Andrew is excited about this guest, as I was when we had Bomani Jones. Andrew has wrestled in a fantastic guest. Andrew, tell him who it is, because you're so excited.
Well,
about it.
I had to hold him at gunpoint to come on the show, but I do appreciate him giving us some time. It's top 10. Well, he's been in the top 10. He's currently the number one ranked American tennis player in the world. It's John Isner. John, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. This is a lot of fun.
So, John, let's talk about the first thing with tennis is, the first question I have is, I'm a huge fan of the Lebatard Show, Lebatard Show, and they are degenerate gamblers. And how I was introduced to you is they gamble prop bets on your match, how long they will last, if someone will score off your serve in specific games. And Stu Gotts and Mac Ryan won a ton of money because of you in 2018 Wimbledon. Are you aware of this with them, that they gamble on you during tennis matches?
Actually, I'm not. I've been invited on the Lebatard Show before, haven't been able to make it. I've been told that they've mentioned my name quite a bit. It's not a show that I watch too much, but I mean, hell, like I appreciate that. I'm glad I've made them a few bucks. That actually puts a smile on my face. So I think,
well, John,
think
I'm that glad that you made it a priority of coming on this show.
Yeah,
exactly. Come on.
Yeah.
If I ever was going to come on a show, it's this one.
John, so let's talk tennis for a minute. You know, obviously COVID is affecting all sports and maybe tennis more than any other. And, you know, I think the issue with tennis obviously is just that it's an international sport. So it's there are challenges obviously with the NBA, with the NFL, but it's more wide reaching with tennis in the fact that you've got, you know, top 100 players on almost every continent, and the travel that's involved with just getting to venues, you know, and then fans that travel from all over the world to go to these Grand Slams, it makes it really, really difficult. Can you speak to just kind of the state of tennis right now? I know the U.S. Open's supposed to happen, although there's rumblings that they may decide to pull the plug and not do it. So maybe just talk about the where tennis is right now and your confidence level, like, for the future.
Yeah, well, Andrew, I actually think you hit it on the head right there, and in the sense that our sport a lot of people have said, oh, well, tennis is the perfect social distancing sport. Well, I, you know, yes, tennis is the perfect social distancing sport. But the problem is the makeup of our tours, the ATP and the WTA tours, is very difficult in this current pandemic situation, considering, as you just said, players are literally coming from all over the world. There are different countries all over the world that have different guidelines. There's different, you know, immigration rules. There's quarantine rules. There's this and that. And so that's what the main thing currently that the USGA is trying to unravel and fix for everyone is to get rid of the mandatory 2-week quarantine from, Europeans coming into the United States. And then after the Europeans finish playing in the United States, the EU needs to release those players to get back into Europe immediately, so they don't have to wait around in America for 2 weeks after they finish their US Open. So there's a lot involved to get these tournaments off the ground. I do applaud the USTA. They're trying everything in their power to make it happen. Unfortunately, there's been some, you know, issues with other events that have popped up where players have contracted the virus that has maybe shined a bit of a negative light on our sport. And so, look, there's a lot of hoops that the USGA has to go through to get the Open to happen, but I know they're working hard, and I do feel like most players want to play. I've been a huge proponent of trying to get back to play as quick as possible because it's important. You know, you see all these other sports, coming back late this month or in early August. And if that doesn't happen for tennis, I'm afraid we're going to be totally forgotten, because it's the US Open. It's one of our four biggest events, and we need to get that on TV, just like all these other sports are doing.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to your event in a second, because you actually put something together, and that's kind of dipping the toe in the water a little bit. So I want to talk about that. But, you know, I think for us as football fans and just sports in general, it's been an opportunity with not much happening to be a little bit more nostalgic. And for you personally, and I'm sorry to bring this up, John, I know you probably secretly hate me for this, but it was the 10-year anniversary of you and Mahut having the famous 70-68 match at Wimbledon, over 13 hours. And my son was born that year, and he's 10 now. So it's just like, I can't believe that was 10 years ago. It's time flies. But I guess, what do you remember about that match? And is this the number one moment for you as a tennis player, or does it rank in the top five? Like, in terms of just, you've beaten Federer on clay in Switzerland, Davis Cup, you've won Miami. So you've had probably, from a stake standpoint, higher profile wins, but this is the one that everyone talks about. So where does it rank for you personally?
Yeah, no, that's another good question. What I remember about that match is, it is crazy to me, just as you said, that it was 10 years ago. To myself and Nicola, it feels like, you know, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, the fact that was in 2010 is just crazy to think about. I still remember it so vividly, of course. I mean, I was playing a tennis match on the same court for 11 plus hours. It was absolutely insane. It was an insane match to be a part of. Of course, I don't remember the whole match. There's so much about that fifth set I don't remember at all, but there's a lot of moments that during the course of that crazy long match that I do remember. And now that it's 10 years later, I actually am now more comfortable talking about it. In the immediate aftermath of that match, I did not want to talk about it at all. I could not escape that match whatsoever, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, people wanted to know about the match. Like, I don't, you know, I never got mad at when people asked me that question, but it wasn't something that I enjoyed talking about. But now 10 years later, I do enjoy talking about it. I think it was an incredible, pretty special match to be a part of. And I was glad that I was part of that match and shared that court with my opponent, Mahut. And, you know, we did something really, really crazy that,
well, I can say this,
sport will never, ever see again.
Roger Federer, Yvonne Lendl, you can talk about all the greats you want. They didn't have Andy Sandberg make an HBO sports mockumentary on them, right? We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Documentary or movie, whatever you call it. That was so disturbing. You know, but look, how funny is Andy Samberg? And then you had the King of the North on there as well. So
it was weird. It is weird. I wouldn't call it like good comedy. It was weird. I feel like they made it and HBO thought it was going to be like for hijinks and comedy, and it is really weird. But other tennis stars don't have that, John.
Yeah, no. A lot of tennis stars do not have that. It was. I think I hit the nail on the head there. It was pretty disturbing.
John, were you ever close to passing out in that match? Be honest.
No. I mean, I never. Like, the one thing that helped is that we played or the conditions we played in. It was probably, you know, throughout the whole course of the 3 days, it was probably 65 degrees and no humidity, like not a lick of humidity at all. So that contributed and helped in the sense that we were able to play for so long out there because the conditions were not tough to play in at all. There was no wind, there was no sun, it was just kind of like perfect tranquil conditions, not hot at all. So that enabled us to go for a long time. So I never felt like I was going to pass out. Yeah, I was tired, my legs were hurting, my shoulder was hurting a little bit here and there, but I think most importantly, I had a lot of adrenaline coursing through my body during the course of that match, and that's what enabled me to keep plugging away.
Well, congrats on the milestone, man. That was you never forget. You know, there's certain matches in your life you watch them as a tennis fan, you never forget them, and that was definitely one. But yeah, just looking at the event you played most recently in Atlanta, and I know you had a big hand in organizing this thing, and you know, unfortunately, one of the players tested positive during the tournament for COVID, and you know, you kind of got a lot of scrutiny and a lot of criticism for that. But you know, I mean, as a fan, I'm watching it and I'm like, holy shit, tennis is back. It was awesome to watch because, you know, I pay close attention to the top eight Americans, and you had all top eight of them there, and you guys are all playing against each other. And it felt like a safe event. I mean, you could see the fans socially distance, and you saw a crowd of, you know, maybe 25% capacity because you wanted to make sure they were far apart, so no one was putting each other at risk. And you saw masks, you saw no ball kids, and, you know, you saw tennis balls that weren't being shared by the players and all that. So I thought you guys did a tremendous job of putting on a great event, and it was fun to watch on TV. I guess as we look towards the NFL season, and you kind of just dipped your toe in the water, what advice do you have in general to sports after going through that experience, and just like how you prepare to try this new normal, which is having sports in a different way than what we're used to?
Yeah. Look, I think what, as you mentioned, I myself and some others did take some heat online, especially Twitter. A lot of people in the no fun club, in my opinion, tried to get us to cancel the event once Francis tested positive. But the reality is no one outside of the staff and the players, no one knew or knows how safe the event was, how socially distant we were from everyone, from all the other players. So the way I look at it is this event was, we treated it like what the PGA Tour is doing. They have seen there's been some unfortunate instances where some players have tested positive, and they've simply, or their caddy has tested positive. They've simply just pulled them out of the field, and the show went on. And that's what we did to a much smaller extent in Atlanta. Francis tested positive, but we know that none of us were in close contact with him. None of us were hugging, high-fiving, sharing a meal, this and that. Like, we just flat out weren't doing that. We did get tested subsequently. All of us were negative. We took all the right steps there, but we didn't, cave in to the pressure of people wanting for us to cancel the event. We kept going on with it, and I think in hindsight, it was definitely the right decision. Look, and well, as far as the other sports go, like, I can't, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to say. I mean, what if, you know, heaven forbid, you know, 10 New Orleans Saints players or something, you know, against the Panthers, I actually probably wouldn't mind that.
I was going to say your secret.
If they tested positive. So I don't know. I mean, teams and leagues are going to have protocols, and you just got to cross your fingers and hope that situations like that do not arise. Look, because teams are going to be put in these quote unquote bubbles. And if everyone, in my opinion, if these individuals do their part and if they're safe and they wear a mask and they keep their distance from everyone as best as they possibly can, then that's going to give these teams and these leagues a very, very good chance to succeed during this time. I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest link, in my opinion. So these, you know, everyone needs to take a lot of personal responsibility and a lot of pride in trying to get their sports back in a safe manner.
Oh, my God. Men, start taking notes, because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology, so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. The water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. You need to try this out yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. Your balls will thank you. Well, the one thing I was going to say, John, is for your event, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. You know, you said, you know, the outside world was saying cancel, cancel, cancel. But the thing that I noticed about your event is nobody internally said anything bad. The players, the people that ran it. So to me, is that the key for all these sports? Is you got to make the people, the coaches, the players, the internal staff, they have to feel 100% confident that the NFL is doing everything possible. Because if you know, it would have been different for you if a player had come out and said, hey, I thought that they didn't do what they needed to do. Then you start having problems. So it's the internal people that matter most.
No, it's an excellent point. You can ask anyone involved with that event in Atlanta, and everyone say it was super safe. And we literally, up in our players' lounge, which everyone was, you know, my table was 10 feet away from the next person's table, so forth and so on. We had this big players' lounge. The players were not allowed to get waters or Gatorades out of the refrigerator. That is no joke. Not one of us ever got, we had to summon someone to put on gloves to grab a water and Gatorade for us. I mean, so that's how safe we took it. Obviously, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. And I think it's ridiculous that we weren't able to share tennis balls. I mean, I don't know all the science behind it, but I feel like we could be able to use the same tennis balls. We didn't even have lines umpires on the court. We had one chair umpire and that's it. So as I said, we know how safe it was. I mean, you did bring up a good point. If the players and the coaches and the staff and everyone internally knows that the product is being put on in a safe manner, the outside noise does not matter at all. What matters is that everyone is happy and content with how, you know, for instance, our event was run, or going forward, how these leagues are going to be run. And I'm very certain that they're going to have great guidelines and everyone's going to adhere to them as much as possible.
All right, let's get to football. All right. So Saints Panthers rivalry here. I want to talk about this for a minute. I hate Cam Newton, John.
I love him.
I hate him with every fiber of my being. And this dates down. I'm an LSU fan too. So this dates back to Auburn and just what he did to LSU when he was at Auburn. And, you know, fast forward to the NFL. I am so glad that he's off your team. Good riddance. It's kind of like when Steve Smith, your buddy, retired. It's just like, that guy can't retire.
He's all-time Saints killer, Steve Smith.
Look, you guys hate Cam Newton. How do y'all think I feel about Drew Brees? Now, I don't hate the guy. I hate him because he's so damn good. How do you think I felt as a Panthers fan going up against the Saints and seeing Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and all these people, you know, do their thing and always beat Carolina in the last second? It's agonizing.
But here's the thing,
I love Drew Brees as a person, but I do not like playing against that guy.
But here's the thing about that, where me and Andrew different on Cam. I'm going to miss Cam because Cam in his post-game press conference was more fun to hate on than any quarterback that the Saints faced in the last 10 years. His wardrobe, his weird things that he says after the game, his arrogance. You hated him? But God, he made it so much fun. Like,
getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
And maybe I'd feel different if he had just dominated over the Saints and they didn't sweep him in 2017. Maybe I'd feel different about it. But man, he made it so much. He made it more fun. He's more fun than Matt Ryan's ever been, Andrew. That's my only point on Cam Newton.
Look, and Andrew, as Andrew said, he's an LSU fan. You know, he initially didn't like Cam Newton because he was at Auburn. I went to Georgia, so I didn't love Cam Newton when he was at Auburn. He terrorized UGA when Auburn won their national championship.
That's right.
You look, well, when Carolina drafted him, and when the whole draft process is going, he was rising in the ranks. Like I at a certain point, I was like, wait a minute, this is the right thing. Like, I want them to draft Cam Newton. This is going to be so badass to have this guy on our team. He's a once in a generation talent, and he really is. And you know, he's one of the, simply put, he's not on the team anymore. We know that, but he's one of the greatest Panthers ever. Carolina was very close to winning a Super Bowl, and you know, Carolina is one of those teams. It's a small market team, and not many people talk about the fact that they were 14-0 and went 15-1 on their way to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's one of the great all time regular seasons.
And romped in the playoffs, by the way. Romped in the playoffs. They romped over Seattle, and they romped over Carson.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona, yeah. And they destroyed two teams at home. And look, they didn't play great in the Super Bowl. We know that. But the fact of the matter is, they went, as a Carolina Panthers fan, so I've been a fan now since their infancy in 95, they went 17-2. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. Obviously, a Super Bowl championship would have been nice, but that was one fun year as a Panthers fan.
Here's a question for you, John. And me and Andrew tried to figure this out. You know, Saints, we hate Atlanta. Number one rival. It's been for 50 years. They hate us.
Definitely.
We hate them. And it's our own little thing. But Tampa, we don't even think of them as a rival. Carolina, Saints fans, I think the players sort of hate each other more than the actual fans. But like for your Carolina fan, like who's the team that you're like, I hate them. I want to beat them. And not only do I want to beat them, I want to humiliate them. What's Carolina's team? Who's your rival?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about the NFC South, it goes New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't stand New Orleans. I don't know why. I wonder what the all-time head-to-head is.
So
I
mean, good. You know,
it feels like Carolina never beats New Orleans. I wonder what the all-time head-to-head is. It's probably pretty close. But
you know why it feels that way, John? It's because it's true.
Yeah,
well, I don't know, man. The Carolina would give it to the Saints in the 90s, I felt like. So yes. The record's probably about
you
even.
You guys had some brutal teams before Drew Brees. So, for me, it's the Saints. Trying to, you know, the couple years ago, that playoff game in New Orleans, and that was tough. You guys swept Carolina that year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three games. I mean, that was tough. I remember Gano missed like a 23-yard field goal or something. I mean, so much went wrong. I mean, are you guys ready?
Are you guys ready for this head to head? You guys ready?
Yeah, let's see it.
25-25.
Wow.
No way.
Dead even.
That is incredible.
That's because Jake Delhomme is like 25-0 against the Saints.
Yeah, it feels like 40-10. So I'm very surprised by that. But yeah, look, for me, it's the Saints. I really, really have a strong dislike for that team. It's nothing against the personnel, nothing against them at all. It's just that.
The thing that's weird for me when you look at the history of these two teams is that other than maybe AJ Klein more recently and John Casey as a kicker, mm-hmm. we really haven't poached great Panthers, but you guys, I mean,
they have a statue of Sam Mills outside their stadium.
They have Sam Mills. Yeah. They have Jake Delhomme. They have Roman Harper. They have Mark Fields. Yeah. Who am I missing, Ralph? Wesley Walls.
Guys.
Wesley Walls.
Yeah, well, there you go.
There's all these Saints. You guys took them, and they're awesome.
You guys took Teddy Ginn. I mean, Roman Harper wasn't, you know, he was on that good team, but like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't all that. He wasn't all that, in my opinion. But
I mean, the statue of Sam Mills outside your stadium really burns us.
Well, you know, that's where our mantra came from. You know, that's just a source of inspiration right there. But hey, look, you're exactly right. You named off a lot of players that Carolina has poached, and you know, we took the born and bred Louisiana boy and made him a Carolina Panther for life, Jake Delhomme. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, he almost won a Super Bowl with him. So
Jake Delhomme in the second half of that Super Bowl was ridiculous.
That's
as good a half as any quarterback has ever played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That is one of the most underrated Super Bowls. No one, for whatever reason, no one ever talks about that game being one of the all-time greats. You see, you know, watch these old school films on NFL Network or whatever. They don't ever bring that game up, and it really pisses me off. It's an incredible game. There's so many little things. When Carolina went for two twice, didn't get it. They should have been winning towards the end of the game, and there's some, you know, decisions that, you know, always in hindsight you go back and question, and then, you know, Casey kicking it out of bounds. But that game does not get talked about for whatever reason. I think there was no points scored in the first or third quarters. It's like there's some crazy numbers out there, and all the points are scored in the second and the fourth quarter or something like that. And it was a high scoring game. But realistically, that was my freshman year of college, I believe. And that was probably at the very height of my fandom as a Panthers fan. You know, that was because I was living in North Carolina, and, you know, I just felt a lot closer to the team then. That was a tough one to swallow.
Well, I mean, so being an LSU fan, you poach Brady from LSU, and that makes me want to puke. But then you also get Teddy Bridgewater. So how are you feeling about this new look Panthers team coming into this season?
Well, I mean, look, you got to like the fact that Teddy's at QB, because you'll be hard pressed to find anyone that can even say one bad thing about that guy. So
you can't,
and you can't, right? So we know at the very least, we're getting a super high character guy. I mean, how he got to Carolina is, you know, Panthers fans maybe aren't that happy about that. Cause me personally, and I speak for a lot of Panthers fans when I say that we really did love Cam Newton, but at the same time, you never really know what's going on behind the scenes. What's been disappointing as a Panthers fan, I guess, recently is how a lot of these all-time greats have left the team disgruntled. And it seems to be a theme. You know, it starts with Steve Smith, my all-time favorite player. You have Thomas Davis kind of leave unhappy. Greg Olson, now he's in Seattle. He wasn't happy about his
another all-time Saints killer. And Greg Olson, he almost beat the Saints on one leg. Remember that, Andrew? Andrew was like, "Oh, don't worry about Greg Olson in the playoff game. He has one leg." I'm like, "That dude wrecks the Saints. I'm scared of him."
Yeah, no, he's the guy. He's always going to be in the right place at the right time. He's always going to block well. He's not going to blow you away with his speed. But, I mean, hell, Seattle and Russell Wilson, when he's healthy, I mean, he's got his foot healthy now. Like, he's one of the best in the league. So,
no doubt.
I think the Vegas over-under for this Panthers team is 5.5. I don't know where I stand on that. I'm usually a big fan of a Panthers season play over, but this year I'm not so sure. I mean, Vegas has us as being the doormat in the NFC South, and that's just
They gave your coach like a 10-year contract, so they're completely committed to him. So if he wants to tear it down to the studs,
which is insane. Like I know other GMs and team owners are hurt, very unhappy about that, because I mean that set a crazy precedent. You hire a guy from college, I'm sure he's a great coach, but they give him 8-10 years or something like that. I mean, it's
8 years, $67 million, I think it was.
Yeah, like, you know,
it's gonna be great if he's terrible for us.
They're gonna buy him out, but I don't think. I mean, who knows? Like, we'll see. I mean, Rule's always been known. He's been known for turning, you know, quote unquote programs around. I don't think of an NFL team as a program, but he turned Temple around. He turned Baylor around. But it's a little bit different when you're dealing with professional players as opposed to college. But of course, wish him all the success. But you know, this Panthers team is going to have a very, very different makeup. You know, McCaffrey's the face of the team. We know that, but there's no Cam. There's no Greg Olson. There's no Thomas Davis. And of course there's no Luke Kuechly. I mean, how massive of a departure is that? So, it could be a lean year.
We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back, with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
All right, John. So, talk us through this scenario. You could either give us a specific story if you can think of one, or you can talk about it more broadly. But I'm just picturing you, and you're like, I don't know, in the second round of Beijing, you're about to play, you know, whatever. You're about to play some random tennis player in Beijing in the second round. And it's like 4 a.m. and the Panthers are about to play a huge game. I'm just picturing this. And you're like, I've got to get a beer in me. I've got to watch this game. To hell with my match tomorrow morning. Like, if I win, great. If I lose, but I'm watching. Like, do you have any stories like that where you're on the road and you're just trying to watch the Panthers?
Gosh, yes. I mean, look, you get the NFL.com game pass. And the problem is, it's not that I set my alarm to watch the game at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, whenever it is. I go to bed, you know, telling myself, all right, I'm going to sleep through the night, and I'm just going to hope for good news. But the problem is my body, I wake up 5 minutes before kickoff, and I look at the clock and I go, shit, you know, what am I can't go to sleep now. So then I open up my computer and I'll watch a whole, you know, 3-hour Panther game or a Georgia game. I've had it in back to back nights. I remember watching one of those big Georgia LSU games way back when in Beijing or one of those places. And then the very next middle of the night, following it up with the Panthers game, you know, some random 1 o'clock game that the Panthers had. So, you know, being being a huge fan is awesome, but it has its drawbacks when you're in weird time zones and you gotta be rested to play good tennis.
Well, you're a total pro, John. I know that you take your career very seriously. Obviously, you've been tremendously successful. But have the Panthers? Do you feel like, just going back over the course of your entire career, can the Panthers be blamed for any of your tennis losses?
No.
At least partially.
I can't say that. I mean, look, there are some times where, you know, maybe I wish I had a little bit more sleep, as I was just talking about, but.
You could have thrown Chris Winkie under the bus, man. You could have thrown Chris Winkie under the bus, or some random quarterback that they had before Cam Newton.
No, I've been so distraught. When I was in high school, or middle school, and the Panthers, when they would lose on Sunday, I would literally be miserable for the whole week. I could not watch SportsCenter. I cannot watch NFL primetime with Boomer and Jackson. Like, I could not do anything for a week until the Panthers played the following week until they won their next game. I was a mess when the Panthers lost.
That sounds like me at the age of 39.
As I've gotten older, I've mellowed out a little bit more, and I'm still a massive Panthers fan. I mean, the Panthers have been everything. Like, when they came to Charlotte, they came to North Carolina, I loved the NFL before they came, but when they came, I was like, that's it, I'm all in on the Panthers, and it hasn't stopped.
I remember when I first got on Twitter, and John was, you know, one of my first 50 follows, and I'll never forget it, because one of the first tweets I ever saw from you, John, was bragging about Vinny Testaverde being like 100 years old and winning a couple games for the Panthers. This guy.
That's pretty funny, because I think maybe during that year that he was, you know, quarterback in the Panthers, it was like week 3 or 4, they were going over the injury reports around the whole league. And you know, you're watching on TV, and they put up these graphics, and they normally highlight some guy's knee, or they highlight his elbow, or he's got a bad shoulder or a concussion, and his whole body was highlighted. And it said he's out for a week so-and-so due to, quote, general soreness. So that was some tough times as a Panthers fan. Then I think, Jimmy Clausen followed it up right after that, or he was a starter the next year. And I'm blanking on the one quarterback that played like St. Pierre, Brian St. Pierre. Is that right?
Oh yeah, Brian St. Pierre.
The quarterback for the Panthers. That was some tough times, but I think that's what all of that stuff is what led to the Panthers getting the number one pick and getting Cam.
Final question, and then we'll let you get out of here. John, if you were in the U.S. Open final and you needed a hype man, who would be the best Panther to be your hype man to lead you on the court for tennis?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I mean, I'm trying to think of players that have led, you know, kind of done some Drew Brees-type stuff in the huddle, but nothing's really come to mind. But for me, that hype man, without a doubt, is Steve Smith. I mean, he is, and I am so partial. Like, he will be.
He's come to Wimbledon to see you play, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, the Australian Open.
He watched him play
a bunch of times. My first round match at the U.S. Open last year, first round match U.S. Open, in my box was Steve Smith and Terrell Davis. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, you got two Hall of Famers, one Georgia Bulldog, and one, this guy Steve has turned out to be a great friend of mine. Like, that was pretty surreal. But for me, it's Steve Smith. He's the toughest guy pound for pound, and anyone would agree with that. I guarantee you ask Sean Payton that, and he would say
Sean Payton loves him.
Yeah, he loves him. I know. Yeah. I mean, coaches love him, but, you know,
he hates this podcast, but he loves Steve Smith.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So Steve, no, it would be 89 for me.
Steve Smith is grudgingly, you all Saints fans, we just know, we're just like, yeah, he's awesome, and we hate him because he torched the Saints, but we grudgingly respect him. John Isner, we cannot thank you enough. for giving us time tonight. Guys, this has been awesome. Thanks for supporting us and allowing us to make great interviews like this happen. We will see you next time.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.